is Michael O'Rourke, continuing the interview with Andy Klein in his office on August 26th, 1996.
Okay.
Because you were going to tell me about the meeting.
Well, that was basically when it all happened, was at that meeting. And I think that's probably what, right at that time is when the project died, that people just kind of raised and threw up their hands and said, well, the Corps is not going to go much further on this thing. And the Corps had gone so far as to developed good topographic maps of these different dam sites and reservoir areas. And as a matter of fact, I was able to secure one copy for the site up here at Gales Creek and looked at it from the point of view of Forest Grove maybe developing the site, but it would have involved so many miles of road relocation. It would have been a big dam. It was clear out of reach for Forest Grove to do it by themselves. And so we had to look at other things like Trask and Devil's Lake Fork, the Wilson River, things of that type. CH2M did several studies of dam sites in and on Clear Creek. And again, the stream bed is so steep that there was going to have to be an incredibly high dam to impound even 200 or 300 acre feet of water. And that, if they had done that, the cost-benefit ratio would just blown right out of the sky, because there was no way that you could spend that kind of money and get such a very little amount of storage. It was only going to be good for a few years, and then you'd be looking again. So Scoggins was a godsend. It really was. And then I guess hindsight is 20/20, but they should have built phase two of the Tualatin project, which was a dam on the Tualatin River. And they looked at two sites there, one at Gaston and one up at Mount Richmond, and neither one could fly. I have reports on the on both sites that were generated by the bureau over in the Boise office, and it didn't catch fire. Then I was on that committee with old Harold Meyer was on it, and there were a number of us, and we met one day. Wes Meilenbeck was the chairman of the board of county commissioners, and I forget who the city county manager was at the time, but he got up and gave a very short and concise talk saying the county was not interested in pursuing it, period. And that was all there was to that. And that project died. And I guess mainly again because of the Cherry Grove interest upstream. It was going to flood a part of Cherry Grove, and they didn't want that. And well, I guess it's the old NIMBY thing, you know, that pops up every now and again.
Uh-huh.
But someday there will be another dam in this valley. It's almost going to have to be. And of course, the Unified Sewage Agency is buying into this, the raising of the Trask Dam for flow augmentation. When we did these studies for DEQ back in the early 70s, 72, 74, we tried to promote flow augmentation as being one method of treating the water quality conditions, because it'll bring the water temperatures down in the streams. It will provide dilution for any nutrients that are in there, and if you can get that ratio of nutrients to amount of water, you can get the nutrient ratio way down. You can keep the algae from growing, and if you get the water temperatures down, that helps. Another thing that we were promoting was vegetative corridors on either side of the Tualatin River and perennial streams, tributaries, keep the shade over the streams. Number one, you can bring water temperatures down 5 and 10 degrees. Get by putting those vegetative corridors along the streams, you keep the turbidity from getting into the stream, which helps, and it'll pick up some of the nutrients to keep those. The trees will take, and vegetation will take the nutrients up, and that helps keep the nutrients from getting into the streams. These recommendations were made back in 72 and 74 when we completed these studies. EPA and DEQ are just catching on right now, 20 some odd years later, that this might be a good idea. And I figure where these people have been, what they've been thinking about. Now these are, and they're easily implemented. And I sat down one day and I got to thinking about it. If you took a strip of ground 50 feet in width and along just the Tualatin River for like 30 miles or something like that, and you paid the farmers or the people that the interests that have that property, gave them a couple thousand bucks an acre for that land, which they're not farming anyway, it's just peanuts compared to what was voted for Metro for greenways. Yeah, it's just nothing. And
it could have a potential real positive benefit then.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they're not doing this. But anyway, it's...
Back momentarily to the 50s plan by the Army Corps. If had they been able to go ahead and build those flood control dams, would that have implied federal funding of those projects then too? Was that part of the...
That was strictly a Corps project, the whole thing, all the way through. I don't remember anything in those that had anything to do with local financing. Mm-hmm. There might have been, I don't know. But it seemed to me it was the Corps was going to come in and do this, period. Mm-hmm. And from a point of view of flow augmentation, it would have been wonderful.
Now, you mentioned Johnny Fredrickson and the others down there at Romers and Avalon, et cetera.
Yeah,
Was it principally those commercial interests on the river, or was it more generally the lower Tualatin?
I really don't know. Those are the two names that always kept popping up. And maybe because Johnny Fredericks was a ball player for Portland Beavers at the time, and he was a personality, so to speak. Romer's Rest had a gorgeous resort there. It's all gone now, on the banks of the Tualatin.
Yeah, did you visit the resort?
I didn't go down at that time, but we had a job here recently where someone had purchased that thing and they were going to develop it, and I went down and I thought we might be doing the engineering for it, but we didn't get the job. And it was being partially financed by a friend of mine who's in the boring business. It does conduits under railroads and things like that. A fellow by the name of Gonzalez. And I don't know if that project ever went ahead or not. There was some wetland involved, and they were going to have to deal with that. And then, of course, there's the riparian area they were going to have to deal with. It might have been just a little bit more than they wanted to tackle, but I don't know that it was never done. I don't know if it was done or not.
Of course, Johnny Fredericks and also the operator of Romer's was
Romer's Rest.
Yeah, Romer's Rest. And I guess there was yet another place, Louis, at that same location, more or less.
Yeah, a couple of others.
All of those places ceased to exist not too long after that. And
yeah.
It was partly because of water quality, I guess, was my understanding.
Could have been. Yeah, could have been.
I think there were some, there was at one point some hepatitis scare or something as a result.
Very logical. Yeah, yeah, very likely.
Would that be something that makes sense to you as an engineer?
It sure would.
You know,
you bet.
The kind of problem you could encounter swimming in the Tualatin those days.
The Tualatin River, as far as pollution was concerned, the dissolved oxygen in the river was low. Bacterial counts were high. The Willamette River wasn't a heck of a lot better. The bacterial counts were incredibly high. Matter of fact, Clay Meyer, who happens to be a very close personal friend of my wife, he was, I'm not sure if Secretary of State at the time or State Treasurer, I think he was probably Secretary of State. And I was telling him after I'd finished these studies that there was some progress being shown, that there was by the measures that were being taken relative to sewage treatment up and down the Willamette River. not the Tualatin, but all the way up and down the Willamette. All these communities were being forced to put in good sewage treatment facilities. So it appeared to me from the studies that we did on the Willamette in 1972 to 74 on those water quality studies. See, we looked at every stream in the state, every stream excepting the Walla Walla River and the South Coast Basin. But there was good progress being shown in decreasing bacterial count. And he said, boy, you ought to write Governor McCall a letter and tell him, because that was his bag. He wanted to clean that Willamette up. Well, I never did. I didn't think McCall would pay any attention to me, so I let that go by the wayside. But I said, Clay, you tell him if you want. And maybe he did, maybe he didn't. He and McCall were good friends.
Mm-hmm. I know there's still a lot more we can talk about, and I'm starting to get into a little bit of time trouble myself, so maybe we'd call it a day today,
sure,
but I'd like to make another appointment.
Yeah, I'm going to be back down here in about another hour and a half. I've got four cost estimates I have to get out for some projects, and so I've got to go back to work again.
I better give you a chance to grab some dinner before you have to come back then.
Right.
Thanks for today's interview, and maybe we can schedule another time to get
back
here.
It's a pleasure. I've done nothing but just BS, but it's been fun.
Well, we'll collect some more from you.
And I hope 99% of it is truthful.
Okay. Thank you.